Shall we all bow our heads? Oh God, our Father, we were singing this song, "It Is Well With My Soul." This morning we ask that you would come and look upon all of us, and Lord, let it be so. Let it be so, Lord, with all of us that it is well with my soul. I just ask in Jesus' name, if there's anyone here, Lord, who's not ready to meet you, would you come by your Holy Spirit and draw them to yourself? Lord, we ask that this morning as we have gathered with anticipation for the baptism, the young people that have prepared themselves for baptism and are looking forward to it, and various friends have come to participate in the baptism. Lord, we just ask that this could be a day when Jesus' name is glorified, when there is a deeper level of commitment, deeper level of surrender, a deeper level of just selling out to follow Jesus Christ. I would ask especially that you would give me clear thoughts, the ability to communicate the burden that you've given me, this help, and all of our hearts could be open to receive what you have. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. May be seated. Do ask that you bear with me today. My head, this ear is totally closed, and some of those things sort of can have its effect. So you can pray for me that I'll be able to share in a good way, even when my ear is ringing and closed. Some of you here who might not know, here on the back bench on the left is Ange, Ken's friend Ange. Her family is here. It's good to have you here, Mart and family. Thank you for joining us here. So they haven't been here since they've been seeing each other, so it's a privilege to have them come. It's a blessing. Thank you for various of you visitors that have come. We're very grateful to have you join us today. It's a blessing to have youth that are surrendering their heart and will to God. It is truly a blessing. A youth that is sold out. And it's not just for the youth this morning. Not at all. It's for all of us. It's for all of us here. But I put that title on because there's a number of youth that are getting baptized today, and I think we do well to consider you youth and all of us together as we do that. I was thinking about the title, "A Youth That Is Sold Out." What does that mean, sold out? On Friday morning, I stepped into the little store here just a couple hundred feet down the road. And I normally don't do a whole lot of grocery shopping, so I don't get into that store very often. But I walked in there, and Aiden is his name. I don't get to see him as often as we did when we lived across the street from him. And we started chatting a bit and what's happened the last couple months. And he told me this story. He said, when the whole coronavirus hit, there's such a mad rush and people just grabbing stuff off the shelf and buying, stocking up. And he said, we had this thing with the toilet paper. It was just gone. We'd get it and it just ran out the door. And he said, one day, there's this old man and his wife walked in the door. Older couple, walked in the store and they got a whole bunch. These big packs of 12 rolls each. I forget the exact number of packages that he got, but they got quite a few. And 2 days later, they showed up to get more. And he said he was at the counter. He was at the counter, and he heard this woman starting to cry in the back of the store. And as they came up, she was crying about what they're going to do when they run out of toilet paper. And she was wanting to stock up. She was trying to get all ready for not being able to get anything. And he said, we're sold out. We're sold out. I don't have anything more left to give. I've given it all. He said, I've sold it all. I've given it all. And there's nothing more that I can give. There's nothing more that I can give. I've sold out. I've given everything. Sometimes we hear this term, they're sold out. But I'd like for us to consider, what would it look like if here in this room this morning, every one of us had given everything to God, and there was nothing that we're holding back anymore. Nothing at all. We have sold out, we've given it all, and there's nothing more to give. I wonder how that would look. Wonder how that would look. Sold out. let me just tell you something. There is a lot of people, I'm going to say the devil, he's there and he's wanting some of that, right? He's wanting a lot of what we have to give. Let me tell you, God is the one that wants us to give everything to him, right? To sell out everything to him. I don't know, I get a bit concerned at the ease of life that all of us have these days. I get very much concerned because I realize in my own journeys of life, and I realize that on the broad picture of humanity, that it's in the difficult times and it's in the time of struggle that people become more earnest. Right? And I think all of us are aware this morning that we have a life of ease, and many times, or we despise struggle, we despise trials, those things are difficult. And Scripture tells us to receive those things as at the hand of God and allow him to change us. I have this morning, I don't know how many of you have this book. How many of you as families do not have a martyr's mirror? There's a couple. Let me just encourage you. I think you ought to buy one, okay? And I don't read enough in it, and I'm sure my children don't read enough in it. But let me just tell you, it's worth to invest in the martyr's mirror. Do that from time to time. when I read some of the accounts in there, it puts us to shame. There's two accounts that I'd like to read here this morning, and they specifically have to do with young people. Because as I look at you youth getting baptized, and I look at all of us here, we're pretty soft. And when I think of the title, Youth That Is Sold Out, my mind goes to these accounts. Now, I want to read here. I'm not going to read in this first one. There's two accounts that I'd like to read. And I'm not going to read the whole account for the sake of time, but listen to me as I read. This faithful martyr did not think it worth the trouble to reply either to the irritant, and this was a youth, by the way, this was a girl. This was a young girl, I believe around 13, 14 years of age. This faithful martyr did not think it worth the trouble to reply either to the entreating or the threatening words of the judge, but to say it briefly pushed far away from her and upset the images, the altar, the censer, the sacrificial book, etc. Instantly, the executioners came forward who tore her tender limbs. Imagine this, a young girl. First, the judge tried to, with kind words, entreat her to give up the faith. And when she moved forward and pushed the idols away, just pushed them away in defiance. When she did that, it says, instantly the two executioners came forward who tore her tender limbs with cutting hooks or claws, cut open her sides to the very ribs. Eulalia, counting and recounting the gashes on her body, said, "Behold the Lord Jesus Christ, thy name is being written on my body. What great delight it affords me to read these letters, because they are signs of thy victory. Behold, my purple blood confesses thy holy name." Can you imagine a young girl testifying like this? This she spoke with an undaunted and happy countenance, evincing not the least sign of distress, though the blood flowed like a fountain from her body. After she had been pierced through to the ribs of her pincers, they applied burning lamps and torches to the wounds in her sides and to her abdomen. Finally, the hair of her head was ignited by flames, and taking it in her mouth, she was suffocated by it. She died by suffocation after she had been tortured. Here's another girl. The next story, very short. It just says, after the death of Eulalia, which is the one we just read, an account is given from Prudentius, who by her steadfastness in suffering and the violence which she took the kingdom of heaven, put to shame the spirit of this world at Caesar Augustus. The ancients tell us in what manner this heroine of Jesus Christ was martyred, namely, that she was not only tormented on her sides with rods and the other iron of instruments, but her breasts were cut off so that her liver could be seen. Having been put back into prison, she very miserably died. Loss of blood and the pain and suffering. Can you just imagine with me the things that were going on in these two young girls' hearts as they were standing before that judge, as they were standing there and they knew that they were going to get persecuted. They knew that with torches and with irons and with all these hooks, they were going to mutilate their bodies and they were going to be killed. Can you imagine with me what they were looking forward to? They were looking way beyond just their persecution. But they were looking forward to what they were going to have after this life is over. A youth that sold out to God. Let me just tell you, I just think that I'm a pretty shallow Christian. I just think that I'm a pretty shallow Christian. God help us, right? God help us. God help us. A youth that is sold out. Sold out for Jesus. The story that we read, I think none of us here would even question whether those girls were sold out for Jesus. Is that right? There's no question. They were sold out to Jesus. If we're sold out to Jesus, our heart is set to serve God at all costs. If we're sold out to Jesus, everything within our whole being, everything within our whole being is bent and willing to just give it all to God. And if we know that there's things that God wants us to do, we surrender. We give it up. We give it all. Because we're selling out for Jesus. It expresses itself that we can see it in the things that we talk about. These girls, by their very actions and by their very words, you could tell that they're holding nothing back for themselves, but that they've given it all to God. It expresses itself in the interests we have. It expresses itself in the friends we have. It expresses itself how we spend our time. It expresses itself in how we spend our money. It expresses itself in every area of our life. Things express themselves if we have sold out. It does. Jesus said this. In Matthew chapter 2, he said, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt. Okay, now what does that mean? Thou shalt. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Being sold out to God. Now, I have quite a few different headings here as we go on down through here that I'd like to look at. And I'm not sure that I can really convey what I want to convey. I'm not sure that I can. I'm going to try. But this next heading that I have, this is what it says. It says being genuine and real. Being genuine and real. I find there's something within myself, and I find it among us. I find that it's easy for us to sort of know what we should be, know what I'd like to be, and so I sort of put out there who I'd like to be, but I'm not really real with who I am. Do you follow what I mean? And one of the reasons is because I'm scared of what people think of me. I'm scared to just be real. I'm scared to be me, because if people really know who I am, all of a sudden they won't love me anymore. They won't appreciate me anymore. There's things that they won't like about me if I'm just real. So what happens is I put out this cliche of who I'd like to be, and then all of a sudden, when I put this thing out here of who I'd like to be, people look on and they sense, oh, he's not really real. You know, you can feel that, right? You know, you can feel when there's just sort of a, you know, a front put out there. And then when we're not really real, guess what happens? We draw away from each other, right? We sense that there's not a real realness there, and then we draw away from each other. And then as we draw away from each other, that front just continues to increase. I'd like to tell you a story. And this is, there's probably some of you here in our midst, there's probably a couple of you that remember. And this is, I'm going to say, about 18 years ago. And this was happening here at church, at Faith Christian Fellowship. That's where it's happening. And I'm going to say that there was a time here at Faith Christian Fellowship when we as a leadership had that. Not sure how to say that. I mean, is that how to say it? It's just that. Okay? And this is how some of those things went. We were, as a leadership, we were scared to just say really honestly how we felt about some things. And when we came to brothers' meetings and we you know, it's easy to sort of go around the bush and sort of not be quite honest and not be quite upfront and not, you know, you just sort of, you know, you're just not really real. And guess what happens? Can you just imagine the confidence and the trust building in that setting? It didn't, did it? Of course not. And neither does it do in a home when the father does that. Neither does it do in a home setting or in a church setting or, you know, with all of us. Right now we're talking about youth. There's something within us that desires acceptance. It desires trust. It desires all those things. But we're scared to just simply be real. Let me just tell you, a youth, a man or a woman that is sold out to Jesus Christ comes to the place where we're just simply real. We're just simply honest with who we are. See, let me just describe a little bit to you what happens. If we're not honest with those around us who we are, neither are we honest with God. And all these things we're holding back rather than just being totally honest, just being totally open. We hold things back from each other and we hold things back from God Almighty because we're putting on this cliche that says, I'm a good person. Everything's all right. I've got it all together. Being open and genuine and real. I just don't know how to convey this, brothers and sisters, young people, but I would like to suggest that if we're going to be sold out to Jesus Christ, we have to come to the place where we lay down our fear of man and we become real with who we are and the needs that we have and the things that are on our hearts. We just have to become real. Genuine. I know if I would go around this, you know, this church house this morning and I'd ask everyone, which do you appreciate the most? Someone that's genuine and real or someone who puts out a cliche, a front? Every one of you would tell me, I want to fellowship with real people. Am I right? Real people. I just want to be real. Youth, if I could just tell you, you have no idea. You have no idea what you're missing out on and what you can have by simply becoming honest, vulnerable, open, and real. You have no idea. But I would like to put that up real high. A youth that's sold out for Jesus Christ will make decisions in his own personal life to become real. To become real. Isn't that right, Jonas? That's how it works. That's how it works.
how it works.
If we're not real, it causes mistrust. If we're not real, we won't have real friends. If we're not real, we can't have confidence in each other. If we're not real, we're not real with God either, and we won't find the grace of God in our life and continue to grow day by day. It just doesn't work that way. If we're not real, we become very insecure. You know? You're right? Insecure? Insecurity comes when we try to, we want to be real, but we're not real. We put out this cliche, and there's more insecurity and struggles that we face. Honesty, transparency will always bring trust. It moves in that direction. Romans chapter 13, verse 13 says these words, "Let us walk honestly as in the day." Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Let's walk honestly as in the day. But it's hard on our flesh, right? And we hold back. A youth that's sold out. And I'd like to just ask, as we go through here, youth, I would like for all of us to ask ourselves the question, is there things that we are holding back? Is there things that we are holding back? Is there? Is there things that I'm holding back? Ask yourself the question as we go through here. Here's another heading. That's what it says. Learn to walk with God. Sometimes I ask people the question, so how do you walk with God? Instead of smile and say, well, how do you? Right? How do you walk with God? How do you? And I'm thinking about you, youth. I'm thinking about you as babes in Christ and learning to walk. How do you walk? What does it mean? What does the Bible mean when it says that we should walk? And it has a whole list of things that we should walk in. But how do we learn to walk with God? How do we do that? How do we? Just in a very practical way, how do we walk with God? And I had to ask Brother Joe, how do you walk with God? I could ask Brother Stephen, how do you walk with God? I just go around here, and I'm sure that all of you in your journey of life, there are things that you have learned. And I'm just going to put out a couple things here this morning in learning to walk with God. Okay? By no means exhaustive. But I like to just encourage us. We have to learn to walk with God. We have to learn to walk with God. Now, there is a verse that just simply says it this way: unless we become like little children, we shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Elson, you want to bring your little son up here? I think he'll be okay, huh? He's our little buddy here. Unless we become like little children. How you doing, young man? Good? Unless we become like little children, we shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Now tell me this. What would happen if I would take this little young man and I'd take him out here to Berlin on the street and I would just leave him there? What do you think would happen? Anyone? Now, what would happen? He'd be lost. And what would he do? Cry. Why would he cry? He's afraid. Why else would he cry? The security is gone. Why else would he cry? Why else would he cry?
He's hungry.
He's hungry. Why else would he cry? Why else would he cry?
He's scared.
He's scared. Why else would he cry? How's that? That's right. Why else would he cry? Why else would he cry? Why else would he cry? Okay, do you get the picture? All right, you can go sit down. Thank you, brother. Okay, do you get the picture? He'd be helpless. He would be helpless. But you know what it is? All of us here, we have this within us that we sort of have at least part of it together. We don't have it all together. But how much do you think he'd have it together? Nothing. With all of his being, all of his needs become met by the parent. Every one of them. Every one of them. Every last need gets met by his parents. Every one of them. And guess what we do? Guess what we do? We go about it backwards. We try to do all these things because we've learned how to do it, right? We've learned how to do this. We've learned how to do that. We've learned a lot of things. And let me tell you, while it's good, it's important, it's necessary to learn, to mature, all those kind of things, we have to come to the place where we are dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of our life all day long. You know, we can go about our work and all of a sudden we face something and we don't know where to go and how to move forward. And we come to him and we say, God, I don't know how to move forward. Would you please help me? We go into the Word and we say, God, what do you want me to do? There's a dependence upon God like nothing else. While we need brotherhood, while we need family, all those kind of things. At the bottom of it all, there has to be something that cries out to God and say, God, I need you. God, I can't find my way unless you come and help me. I can't find my way. I mean, you take him out to Berlin and tell him to come over here to the church house, he won't find it. He'll never find it. You know, you tell him, okay, go get a meal, and he's like, where do I find a meal? And then you tell him to go find a bed, and he'll say, well, how do I find a bed? And you tell him to go find clothes, and he says, well, I don't know how to find clothes. And I need your help to do that, right? Unless we become like a little child, we shall no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Now, there's a lot of things that you could add and put on there. Let me just simply say, if we learn to walk with God, that is at the heart of it all. I don't know if we can follow that, but that is at the heart of walking with God, is being dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ, finding his will and his word, realizing that it's not in myself. It's not in myself. There's no way that I and myself am able to make it. There's no way. I have to have his help, or I'll never make it. I'll never make it. In Galatians, and that comes by, let me just back up. The way we get converted is by repenting and believing on Jesus Christ, obeying his word. And Colossians chapter 2 in verse 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." You know, when we got converted, when we came to the end of ourselves, and we realized that we were lost before God Almighty, we knew there's no way that we could save ourselves from eternal hellfire. We knew there's no way. We came to the Lord Jesus and we repented. We turned away from sin. We turned away from our own way. We made a choice to believe on Jesus Christ. We made a choice to obey him, to do his will. We made that choice. "As ye have therefore received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him." Galatians 5 verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Well, that's pretty simple. All right? Let me read it again. If I'd asked the question, how many of you don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh? I think everyone would raise their hands, right? We'd all raise our hands. Everyone would raise their hands. Here it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Well, that's pretty simple. Brother Joe, how do you do that? Walk in the Spirit. Right? So, that young fellow, guess what he does? He communicates with dad, mom, right? I mean, he just communicates with him all the time. And guess what? Mom and dad watch over him, and he doesn't, I was going to say he doesn't get into a lot of trouble. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Listen to this verse. This is Philippians chapter 3. It says these words, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." Now, I don't know if you got that. Let me just say that again. Paul said these words to the Philippian church. He said, there's a whole lot of you that the way you walk, you're enemies to the cross of Christ. You're enemies to the cross of Christ. He said, the way that you function, the interests you have, the pursuits you have, they're enemies to the cross of Christ. You're not at the place where you have sold out everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not there. You're going your own way. And the things that you're pursuing, you're enemies to the cross of Christ. Let me just read it again. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often," he said, "I've told you many times already, and now I tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." Okay, here's another heading. Willing to give your life to God anywhere. Now, youth, you that are getting baptized, I'm talking to you. And the others are listening in here. All the others are listening in. Because the others have already accomplished this and you haven't. Youth, do you have a willingness to serve God wherever he calls you? If God would call you as a youth to serve maybe in some other country, or maybe God would call you to, I'm going to say this carefully here now. This fall, we're going to have a divide, right? We're going to send some families, and there's going to be some families that will say, we'd rather stay at faith, right? We'd rather stay at faith than go with the divide. But God is wanting to expand the kingdom. And God is going to build another church. God's going to come and he's going to be that shepherd. And God's calling men and women to lay aside their own preferences. I know how it is. There are some of you young people, our children, 5 years ago when we divided the church here, there's tears shed. There's friends that were left behind. Even though they could still go back and fellowship back and forth, there's friends that were left behind. All those things that are near and dear to me, I'd like to suggest you young people that are getting baptized, you know, the others have, you know, they've conquered this already, but I'm talking about you. To where you're at the place where you're ready to surrender everything and just, Lord, what do you want in my life? I'm willing to do that. Right? Lord, how can I best serve you in your kingdom? God, you know, what do you want for me? I'm sold out. I'm not my own. You know, you put me here in the world, and I know that you have a path for me to follow. But God, what is that path? God, I'm willing to lay everything aside. I'm willing to sell out. I'm willing to give it all to follow Christ. Youth, are you at that place where you have everything on the altar? Where you're not your own anymore. See, my son, Josh, he'll be back in a couple weeks, but he's been gone for 2 years. And I know, you know, I talk with him, right? And Miriam, she's leaving soon. There's something about leaving behind and going. There's no one that will ever know the tears, the loneliness, the things that people give up, surrender, they lay down because I'm committed to serving God, right? Are you at that place? Are you at that place? Are you at that place where you're laying everything down? God, I know it's going to hurt. I know this isn't easy. Lord, I'm just giving it all. Just lead me and I'll just follow. Just like those martyrs, right? Those martyrs that we read, they came. Those girls that we read about could easily have just and very simply said, well, I'm willing to take this little bit of salt and put on that sacrifice. And if they would have done that, they would have walked out the door totally free. No pain, no suffering done. But there was a sacrifice. Willing. Youth, are you willing to give your life to God in any way that he calls you to? Are you willing to do that? It's for the sake of Christ. Here's another heading. A heart to serve others and share the gospel. The story is given in Scripture of a little girl. This little girl, she was a very young girl. She was living with her mom and dad. She was living in the land of Israel, and God was with them. We assume that she had brothers and sisters. We assume that every day as she was there, going out and getting water and bringing it in, cooking meals and all those things, that everything was fine and she was having a happy life. But one day the enemy from another country came. And the enemy that came from a far country, they came and they overtook the children of Israel. They killed the men. They destroyed the land. There was horrible destruction. They took captives. And they took this one little girl. They took her captive and they took her into a far country to be a little servant girl for a highly educated and powerful man. This little girl, her family was gone. Her friends were gone. My people were gone. My God, way back in Samaria, the prophet, way back in Samaria, I'm far from my people. There she was, this little slave girl, and she was faithfully serving her master that had purchased her. They had bought her out of, they had taken her slave, and then they sold her to this captain. This captain was a powerful man. He had a lot of responsibility. He had a lot of authority. But one day, she was going about her responsibilities. And let me just ask this question. You as a little girl or a little boy, if you were taken away from all that you had ever known and put into another setting, where would your heart go? This little girl thought about her prophet. She thought about God. She kept on serving God. And one day, her master came down with leprosy. One day, her master came down with leprosy. And when her master came down with leprosy, guess what she did? Now, this captain was a wealthy man. He was a powerful man. He had tremendous influence. But this little girl, she said, Master, if you would only know back there in Samaria, the prophet, you go back there, you go to that prophet, that prophet, he could have God heal you. He could have God heal you. And she told it to the lady, and the lady told her husband. But let me just tell you, I wonder how it would be if you young people that are getting baptized this afternoon, would enemy would come take you into another land and you'd be there for years. Where would you be in your own heart? Would you serve the idols of the people? Or would you remember back? And you'd have the dedication, so much so that when her master was in trouble, she wanted good for him. And she said, he'll heal you. The God, our God, he's able to heal you. You go back there and you find the prophet, he'll help you. Let me just tell you, youth, there ought to be something within our hearts that's steadfast and sold out to the place that those things, no matter what come my way, no matter how wicked, no matter what happens, there is a conviction within our heart that it doesn't matter what comes my way, I will serve God and I will share the gospel. I will be open. Share with those that come around. I know sometimes youth have a hard time in opening their mouth and just saying, you know, I'm serving God, and I'm not willing to go where my friends want to go. I'm willing to serve God and stand for the truth and be open and share the gospel like that little girl. Let me just tell you a little story. This is a story. Some of you might know this little story, but I'm going to tell you. Some 30-some years ago, when I was a young man, I was 15 years of age. I was 15 years of age, and I came to the place where God called me. And I was lost. There's about two years or 3 years that I knew I was lost. And then I got converted. And after I got converted, I had a friend that I was like this. You know what that means? You know what that means? I had a friend that I was like this with. And after I got converted, I told my parents that I want to be baptized. And I made it known to the leaders. And my friend that I was like this with came to me. And he begged me. He begged me. He said, Mark, couldn't you just wait on me? A year from now, I want to get baptized, but I don't want to get baptized now. He said, Mark, would you please just wait on me? Would you just please wait on me? My best friend, right? My best friend. Guess what happened here? Hey, guess what happened? There's a struggle here, right? There's a struggle here. There's a loyalty. I wanted to please my friend. But as we continued to talk, I came to the place where I told my friend, I told him, I can't wait. God has washed my sins away, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get baptized. Isn't that a commitment, right? I face that. But that's a choice and a decision that I made. Let me just tell you, you're going to face things like that. You're going to face that. And when those things come, the question is, how are you going to respond when those things come? Willingness to stand for truth and obey the Bible. Here's another heading. Clearly under authority. Clearly under authority. You know, I know sometimes us as young boys, we're maturing fast, and we know more than our dad does. We're not sure if we know more than a preacher does, but we definitely know more than our dad does. And we're at the place where when dad wants to give us direction, we definitely know better than dad. So sometimes there's this, I'm not sure, do you call it conflict? Or there's this resistance, or there's this... You know what I mean, right? You know what I mean? There's this struggle. Let me tell you what Jesus did. When he was 12 years old, there's that situation where he was in the temple, and Jesus was talking to the rabbis, and Jesus was talking to the, it calls them doctors. He was talking to the highly educated people. And he was having this back and forth with them. And his father, now, you know, how do I say this? His adopted father. You know, my wife's adopted. She had an adopted father. Jesus' adopted father came and said, come with me, come, and listen to what the next word says. This is what it says. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, it says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Right? Now, there's a little point I want to make here. When he was subject with him, this is what happened. Now, boys, you know, the girls have this already. I'm not going to bother with the girls, okay? You know, they're listening. I'm just talking to the boys here. But this is what happened when they were subject to him. You know, I want to read a little verse here. Okay, this is what happened when Jesus was subject to his adopted father. Okay, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Who? Do you think he knew more than his dad? Probably did in a lot of ways. But he was subject, and when he was subject, he increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Now, young boys, I've heard some people say that, well, if you don't give boys the ability to make all their decisions when you're young, they won't even, and if they have to obey dad when they're coming up through, they won't ever learn how to make decisions. Let me just tell you, that's a big fat lie. Is that an easy way to say it? That's just a big fat lie. All right? That's not how it works. It didn't work that way for Jesus. And it doesn't work that way for you and I either. That's just not how it works. So if you want to increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, this is how you do it, okay? It says here, he went down with them, came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Now, girls, I know you do well with this. You have it all under control. But it's the boys I'm talking about, right? It's just the boys. Okay, here's another heading. Becoming a disciple. Becoming a disciple, a learner. Now, if you go into history, if you look in through the New Testament, at face value, many times we look at the disciples and we look at them and it seems, you know, it's like, oh, they were probably in their 20s and maybe 30, and you know, that's the first off impression that we get. There's a couple scriptures and also history that point to the fact that only Peter was married and the rest of the disciples were actually under 20 at the time of those 3 years when they were disciples. Now, it wasn't an uncommon thing in those days for there to be disciples. And I don't think we many times realize what a disciple really is. But in those days, you know, there's also John the Baptist had disciples. There's also other rabbis that had disciples. But a rabbi or a disciple is one that they walked with their master every day. And they literally, they observed what he said. They observed what he did. They observed how he did it. And they were intent to try to learn how to be like him. Not just do what he says, but they were intent on how to become like their master. That's a disciple. And I think today, many times, We totally miss that. We totally miss that concept of us. Now, again, you that are getting baptized, you're the ones that I'm talking to here, but mom and dad, they've got this one under control. But I don't know if you can get the heart of the thing. How do I become like Jesus? How do I learn what the Bible is saying and not only do what it says, but how can I just, everything that I do becomes like Jesus? When people look at my life, they're like, oh, he's one of those, right? That's what they said of Jesus' disciples. In the book of Acts, it's very clear that they took note that they had been with Jesus. And their whole being, they tried to become like him. They tried to become like him. So, youth, are you a disciple? Are you? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a disciple of him that you take this book and you read it, and you not only try to do the things that he says, but you try to become like that. You ask Jesus to work these things in my heart that I can become like Jesus, a Christian, little Christ, an expression of him. How can we become like him? A disciple. Are we, all of us here, men, women, dads, moms, preachers, we all, every one of us in here, needs to be at a place where we are disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, when he went out to talk to someone out here on the side, they followed him. They wanted to see what he says. They wanted to try to understand what he'd do in those situations. They were trying to become like Jesus. Are you a disciple? You know, there's a lot of people that we could look to in Scripture that had that heart, but we won't take the time to do that. Here's another heading: a balanced view of being spiritual minded. And I'm not sure how to describe or how to say this one. On one hand, I have seen people who they have looked at Scripture and they are trying to do all these things so much so that there's not even an ability to just be friends and be enjoy each other and just be real. There's almost like there's a cliche put on top that I have to be the spiritual image. Okay? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes, I think all of us have met people who there's almost like there's this, I can't talk about anything that's funny that I might laugh. I can't just be real and be myself. I have to say all these spiritual things in order to look like I'm spiritual. On the other side here, there's a casual attitude that says life is fun. Life's a party. Serve God, but let's have a party. Let me tell you, I don't think God is really interested in either one of those. I don't think he is. God is looking for people who are spiritual minded, that can talk about real life and spiritual things and yet can be real about the things that are going on about me and just be real. Just be a real person. I don't know, do you, if you connect with what I'm saying there, I'm not sure. I want to make that I'm not trying to put the thing out here that we're so high and lofty in the skies that we're not real. Okay, I'm just saying, let's be real. And I'm also not trying to encourage this casual looseness. Okay, away with that stuff. Okay, how can we just be real and just serve God in faithfulness? But I believe there are two extremes with that. Youth that's sold out. I have too many things here. I'll just make it real fast here. Could I do that? Okay. I have on here, not following fads and fashions. You're not following, you're not be swayed by what's happening around us with, you know, you name it. Here's another one. Caring about older people. Caring about older people is godliness. Are you with me on that? Caring about older people is godliness. When I went over into Zanzibar a little bit about over a year ago, I would see my son. I sit down with a bunch of men, and over there, there's not many people that have white hair like I do. And they looked at me, and they assumed that I'm 75 years old. Actually, one of them asked my age, and when I told him, he didn't believe me. After that, I decided it's better I don't tell my age. But here's the point. They have a respect for their elderly in a way that we don't in the U.S. Youth, the youth that's sold out respects older people. It respects those that are older, that have more wisdom than themselves. And they actually view it that they have more wisdom. It's not just respecting them. It's actually believing that they have more wisdom. They have more years. I mean, you boys, I don't think you'll know more when you're 65, will you? Yeah, probably not. Right? The older we get, there's more life experiences. And we gain wisdom with all that. But here's my point. My point is respecting older people. Taking interest in young children. I have to move forward here. Taking interest in young children. There's many of you that are going to be dads and moms. And if you don't take interest in young children now, guess what it's going to be like when you have your own children? Now's a good time to practice, right? Here's another one. Youth that are open to their parents. Now, I talked about obedience earlier, but I want to make a special point about just being open. Youth, sharing with your mom and dad the struggles that you face. Just sharing. Sharing with your mom and dad the struggles that they face and being willing to receive input into your life. Just being open. But dad shouldn't know what I'm going through, right? Huh? Dad needs to know, right? Dad needs to know. Here's another one. No partiality. No partiality. No partiality. I'm not sure how to say all that because all of us have friends, right? And we're closer to some than others. And that's normal. That's okay. But sometimes people are partial
and they push others away and don't treat each other equally. It's wrong. It's sin. James says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good works, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I still come back to this man over here, the lady in the back aisle crying, coming up saying, don't you have any more toilet paper? And he says, I'm sold out. I don't have any to give. I've given everything. I've given it all. I'm not holding anything back. I mean, go back there in the warehouse. There's nothing there anymore. You know, you can look around wherever you want to. It's all gone. A youth that is sold out. Lord bless you all. I know you youth really have a desire to serve God. Hope I wasn't too hard on you this morning. Let's just take a hold, hands hold, and pull together. Be faithful. Lord bless you all.